Continuing our study on the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. I saw this scripture yesterday and I had a fit. First Chronicles chapter 25. I'm being invaded up here. I'm going to get Willis up here in a minute and talk to him on this CB. I was over at Willis's and Linda's house not too long ago, and Willis got a telephone call. When I get a telephone call and they hand me the receiver, I say, hello. I handed the receiver to Willis and he said, go ahead. Are you in 1 Chronicles? 1 Chronicles. It's on page 552. 1 Chronicles, chapter 25. Now, what we'll be reading here is about the establishing and setting forth and a kind of a government thing in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll see that it flows from David to these men to their sons. But what I want you to get this morning is what they're doing. It's exciting to me. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy. Now look, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their services was. And it goes on through there, and I'll get into these names and so forth a little bit later. But look at verse 2. And the sons of Asaph, Zakur, and Joseph, and Nethamai, and Asarah, the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph. Now look at this. Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. There's your order. But what I want, I guess, is in verse 3. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jedutha, and all those names. 6. Then it says, under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. I saw that yesterday. I went and I grabbed my horn and I began to prophesy. I began to blow that thing and I just had me a good time. And I got to thinking, well, my goodness, we can prophesy Linda on the piano and Willis on the guitar and over here David and Roger on the drums, and boy, we'll get somebody prophesying on the organ. We're going to get some tambourines, going to start prophesying on them. We can all prophesy. Amen. Now that's exciting. I get really thrilled about that, to know that I can prophesy on my horn.
Praise the Lord.
Are you awake this morning? What I'm trying to show you, let's don't put God in a box.
Amen.
Let Him loose. Let Him go. Where is Christ? In you. All that He is, all that He does, all that He says is in you. Loose Him. Blow your horn. Play your piano. Strum your guitar. Beat your drums. But prophesy unto God. Bring forth some life out of you. We are rivers, and out of your rivers shall flow rivers. I didn't say that. Out of your belly shall flow rivers.
Amen.
Flow your river. Amen. Bring some life.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes.
Learn to play a horn. I don't do something. Let's get the prophesying and bringing some life to this city.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Ezekiel's river. Everywhere that it flowed, it brought life.
Yes.
John's river in Revelation. Trees of life all up and down it. Well, it excited me. 1 Timothy. I wanted to get you excited because now I'm going to get you depressed. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll be dealing with that scripture a little bit more. Probably not tonight, but probably next week. We tend to put God in a box and we say it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way. And if so-and-so doesn't give a prophecy, then it's not of God. I got to studying about Ezekiel. God told Ezekiel one day, I want you to move. Go knock a hole in your wall. Ezekiel was married. Go knock a hole in your wall and carry all your furniture out the hole in the wall so that all the people in Israel can see you. That was a prophecy to Israel. Drama. Drama. Played before their very eyes. The prophecy was this: you, O house of Israel, will do likewise. When they siege this city, you'll try to get your stuff out the back way. You'll try to knock a hole in the wall and get out. And that's what a lot of us are doing today. Try to knock a hole in the wall and go in some other way, and you're the same as a thief and a robber, Jesus said. And we put God in a box. Told Ezekiel one, this ain't got nothing to do with, told Ezekiel one day, said, shave, get you a razor, get you a sharp knife and shave, cut your beard off, cut your hair off. Then go out there in the city, take a third of it and burn it. Take a third of it and chop it up with the sharp knife and the razor. Take a third of it and throw it into the wind, and take a few hairs and stick it in your belt. So that's what's going to happen when they siege this city. A third of you is going to die with pestilence and famine. That's the fire. A third of you is going to die by the sword, and a third of you is going to be scattered into the wind. But I've got my remnant tucked in my belt. And there's a remnant today God's tucking in his belt. There's the perfect man being raised up today in the very image, in the very likeness of the Son, and they're tucked in God's belt. But you see, we want to put God in a box, and we want to say prophecy must come this way, or it must come that way. No. And we've been looking at that. We've been really looking at it on Tuesday nights. But on the last couple of Sundays in the services, we've been examining the gifts of the Spirit. What I want to look at today, and I want to answer on page 7 of your notes, question number 4 that I wanted to deal with. What scriptural evidences are used to teach that the gifts have ceased? What scriptural evidences are used to teach that the gifts have ceased? And I want to begin this by just asking you a question. Why are there so many denominations and different doctrines today? Why? Man's thinking. Seducing spirits. Do it their way. Those are all good and all correct. True Bible teachers and men that God are raising up in this day and in this hour are spending more time trying to disprove false doctrines than they are spending trying to chase devils and chase diseases and causing people to live longer. If we can move into the kingdom of God, if we can move into a realm when we got saved of where we need to be right now, instead of having to go back 5 steps and get it all straightened out, get the Bible, you know, whether we're going to believe the Bible, or we're going to believe this, or what are we going to believe? I'm really wanting to flow, because if I allow myself, I'll get very angry at what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. But the reasons that there are so many doctrines and so many denominations and so many different teachings today is that it's simply a tactic of the devil. It's a tactic of Satan to cause division in the body of Christ and to bring forth a diluted gospel. If he can dilute the power of this thing, and if what I have been sharing with you over the last couple of weeks is true, that you've got to have the manifestation of the senses, the 9 spiritual senses in the body of Christ. Without your natural body, if your 5 natural senses don't operate, what are you? A vegetable. In the church world today, the body of Christ, if it does not have those 9 spiritual senses, then what is it? A vegetable. And what is it? A vegetable. How do you know it's a vegetable, Brother Young? Is it doing what the book of Acts did? Is the church world today doing what the book of Acts did? It's not even close. And until we can do it, we're not New Testament. Let's read 1 Timothy 4:1. The point that I want you to see is that Paul told us it would be this way. Paul very explicitly told us that it would be the way that it is today. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their senses seared with a hot iron. Now on page 7 of your notes, I've got several different translations of that same verse of Scripture, 1 Timothy 4:1. I want to read the Amplified Bible. And it says, "But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith." The faith. Somebody tell me, what is the faith? Is it the Baptist? Is it the Methodist? Is it the Presbyterians? Is it the Pentecostals? Is it the Assemblies? Is it the Church of God? Is it the Church of Christ? Is that the faith? Which one's right? Nobody knows, because none of them are right. Well, I've got your attention anyway. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you? We have left this thing. We create our own doctrines and our own beliefs because it's convenient and it's easy. And we live in a Burger King world. You can have it your way at Burger King. And if you don't like it at Burger King, you can go to Hardee's and get it charcoal broiled. And I'm telling you the truth, and you know I am. You go to any place in this city and you'll hear what you want to hear. If you want to dance with a deacon's wife the night before you come to church, you can go to a church and they'll tell you it's okay to do that. And then we end up being gobble-gobble Christians. Gobble-gobble here and gobble-gobble there. Here a gobble and there a gobble and everywhere a gobble-gobble. Is that what's happening? Come on. The people are looking for somebody to tell them the truth, to see the manifestations of the kingdom of God, to see the body of Christ come together so that when they walk into an assembly, they'll see Christ, they'll be confronted with Him. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding, and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. What have we done? Have we diluted this word? My goodness. It saddens me. We're going through the book of Acts, verse by verse and chapter by chapter on Wednesday nights. And when we compare what they did with what we're doing today, there's such a delusion going on. There's a diluting of the gospel. The Lord quickened to me that there were no instructions given to a church that was not Spirit-filled in the Bible. No instructions were given. So therefore, there are no instructions as to how to operate a church that is not Spirit-filled. But what are the majority of the churches today? Are they Spirit-filled? No. And the ones that are deluded and deranged, and we have our senses seared with a hot iron. I want to feel it. Phillips Modern English. God's Spirit specifically tells us that in latter days there will be men who abandon the true faith. Are we living there today? Is this as accurate and is this as up to date as the newspaper? There will be men who will abandon the true faith and allow themselves to be spiritually seduced by teachings of demons. Teachings given by men who are lying hypocrites with consciences whose consciences are as dead as seared flesh. There is a lot of things. I've been in Lafayette 5 months now. The first of the month will be 5 months. And because I have tried my very best, and if you know me, you know that it's true. I've tried with sweat and tears and crying and much time, tried to deliver you the pure Word of God. If it hurt, I still said it. But already, people are telling you that you are hearing false doctrines. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
And I want them to, I want them to come to me. Where? Show me. Fix me. Correct me. Honestly, I am that way. If I am deluded, if I am false in my doctrines, then come fix me. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody's called me on the telephone and said, "Brother Young, I'd like to explain some things to you about the Word of God." Do you know why? Because they can't explain to me. The New English Bible. Did I just read that? No, that's the one I want. Look at this. The New English Bible, the Spirit says expressly that in after time, some will desert from the faith and give their minds to subversive doctrines inspired by devils through the specious falsehood of men whose own conscience is branded with the devil's sign. Does that sound like the mark of the beast? Now, I've already taught you about the mark of the beast, so you can begin to start seeing how other word begins to line up now with that thought, with that thinking. And whether it is some tattoo, some engraving upon your head or on your hand, that'll all take care of itself. But I know that long before I let anybody tattoo my head or tattoo my hand, I've taken it in here. And God doesn't look at my forehead, or He doesn't look at my hand. What does God look at? My heart. And if my conscience is already marked, if my mind is already marked with the devil's sign, do you think that the Lord knows it? One of the biggest fusses, like Paul when him and Barnabas had their dispute, we went separated asunder from one another. Me and a brother, we were discussing, fussing, arguing about the doctrine of eternal security. And I was a baby Christian and thought I knew something. And he wiped my plow. He done a good job on me. He couldn't do it now, but he did it then. But what I'm getting at, my point is this, is if you want to anger somebody, if you really want to fire them up, if you really want to see what sign they've got on their mind, you fool with their doctrines. Especially that one. And you will immediately find out that messing with somebody's doctrine, you'll find out how much Christ is really in that individual. Or, or Antichrist is in that individual. Well, I'll be teaching on something else. I want to go over real quick to Romans 1. I wasn't sure I was going to do this. Romans chapter 1 will help us get you on my wavelength. I want to start, I want verse 23, but I'm going to back up to about verse 16 and come down and try to look at this in a new light, and the light that we're looking right now. Paul writing, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to the religious person first, and also to the educated person, to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Is that what we're talking about? Someone's going to leave what? The faith. "Faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now let me just interject this thought, because I see that I'm not going to have time to say it later. What you allow to be put, the seed that you allow to be put into the womb of your mind. Most of you know what I'm talking about. The seed that you're allowing to be placed into the womb of your mind will bring you either to life or death. Eve, Genesis 3, went around the wrong tree one day. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's sitting in your notes. And she received the wrong seed. Well, did she? And by receiving that wrong seed, what happened? She lost her eternal life. She died. She received the wrong seed. By your receiving the wrong seed, same thing happens. The thing that I'm getting at is it's still in the area of the doctrines of delusions. And if you, people come to me all the time and they're talking about, Brother Young, my finances. Well, if you didn't love your finances more than you loved God, you wouldn't be having trouble with your finances. People come to me, Brother Young, well, if you didn't love your marriage more than you loved God, you wouldn't be having trouble with your marriage. And I've seen people that actually could not receive a healing because they loved the healing more than they loved the healer. And to answer that, let's go back to Eve. Did Eve want to be like God more than she loved God? What was one of the reasons that she fell? Why? She wanted to be as God, more than she loved God. Did she love the knowledge of God more than she loved God? Now, just to be real honest, because I want you to be honest with me, there's my Eve. I want the knowledge of God. And do I want to know the knowledge of this word, or do I love the God who wrote the word? And she loved the food. It was good to the flesh. It was pleasing to the eyes. And it was good to the taste, wasn't it? If you didn't love your fleshly gratifications more than you loved God, a lot of people today could get their healings. We're moving in a realm, and I'm saying a whole lot, and I'm hoping it's all tying together for you. In a realm of delusions. Eve wasn't just at the tree of evil. What was the name of the tree? Good and evil. There is a good word. But will it bring you life? Two trees. Tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are a lot of doctrines. Good doctrines. Will they bring you life? Are you hearing what I'm trying to get across to you? Delusion goes all the way back. Genesis 3. Hold your finger in Romans. I'm coming right back. I just want to hit this. If you don't see the purpose of the devil, if you don't see his purpose, you'll miss the whole thing. If you're still picturing him as the adversary of God, you've got it all messed up. For Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's true. But he's not God's adversary. He's your adversary. God made him the way that he made him. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle. Is that what it says? What does subtle mean? Sly, smart, cunning. That's what I wanted. Cunning. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Did the Lord God make him subtle? Did he slip up behind God's back and trick Eve? Now, he tricked Eve. He deceived Eve. But did he slip up behind God's back to do it? The serpent is made that way. His purpose is to deceive, to delude, to mark you, or to mark me if I'll let him, with his mark. And to find what you love the most. Do you love the doctrine? Or do you love God? My marriage. Do you love your marriage? Or do you love God? My finances. Who do you love? Am I getting it to you? Why does God allow all of these churches, all of these doctrines? Find out who you love. Do you want a pure word? Do you want to do it the way he says do it, or the way man says to do it? Do you want it at Burger King? Do you want it at Hardee's? Or do you want it on the table and eat the bread of life? I want my banqueting table. I will not delude it. I will not. And they can say, I teach and I preach false doctrines all they want to. I will not bend. I will not. Because I know that there is a many-membered man being raised up in the earth today, being given revelation knowledge of the understanding of the Word of God. And God's sending them to every hamlet. He's sending them to every city. And they're shaking people. They're shaking cities. They're changing lives. The majority of you don't. The majority of you don't think like you thought 5 months ago. Therefore, you're not acting and reacting like you acted and reacted 5 months ago. The reason is you heard the pure word and it's changed you. I want to read on page 7 of your notes. Let's go back to Romans. Let me jump that real quick, because if I don't get it now, I won't get it. Romans 1. Where was I anyway? 18? Okay. 18. For the wrath of God will be one day revealed in the tribulation. Are you awake? Romans, page 202 in the New Testament. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, what he has just said is man is without excuse. Now, we'll take this, you see, we take this as like these are atheists. But look at verse 21. Because that when they... Does an atheist know God? Who knows God? You're kidding. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Is that the Christian world today? What are they glorifying more than anything? Mammon, money, buildings, come on! Doctrines. That's it. We're getting it. Where am I? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Is that doctrines? And their foolish heart was darkened. Is that doctrines? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed, this is it, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Because man could not obtain the glory of God, we change him. Because we cannot by ourself, by our flesh, conform to the image of Christ, we take our spiritual chisels and our spiritual hammers and we chisel away at the rock Christ Jesus. Until we get us a Baptist Jesus and a Methodist Jesus and a Presbyterian Jesus and a Pentecostal and an Assemblies and a Church of God and a Church of Christ Jesus. Because we can't conform to him. We try to conform him to us. And we make him a bird. Flying saints, eagle Christians, sons of God, or a four-footed beast, wrong end in the air, down on all fours, eating, grabbling, creeping things, snakes. Church world's full of them. Brother Young, you're just taking scriptures now. Do you want me to take you to Acts and show you Peter's vision? He saw a sheet come down in it. You know what it had in it? And he says, God has given me a revelation, showed me a vision, that God is no respecter of persons. He hadn't saw any persons. He saw quadrupeds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and snakes, and birds coming down in a sheet. Am I right? You know I'm right. And I brought that out that way when I taught that chapter. That from the Baptist and the Presbyterian and the Methodist and the Pentecostals and all of these churches are coming the great end time harvest. And God is not respecter of persons. Because just a few verses later, He baptizes them in the Holy Ghost. Well, let's read a few more verses. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and lust of their own hearts, to be dishonored of their own bodies between themselves. What are we studying? The gifts, the manifestation in the what of Christ? Body of Christ. God's given some bodies up. B-O-D-I-E-S. Bodies. Who changed the truth of God. Boy, this is starting to make a little sense now, isn't it? Has doctrines changed the truth of God? Who has changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature, my doctrine, the thing they created, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women. Is the bride of Christ a woman? So is Babylon. So is the harlot. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is greatest, which is against nature. I will. Women with women are lesbians. And that's saying that we don't need the head. We don't need man. We don't need our man. We don't need a man. We don't need Christ. And so they form their denominations and their doctrines, and they establish them a city where they have their headquarters, and they don't need the man anymore. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Do you know that there are people today with a doctrine that says we don't need the church anymore? We have become the manifested sons of God of Romans 8. We don't need the woman. And the seed goes wasted. I would put it more bluntly. Boy, wish this was a Wednesday night. The seed goes wasted. It brings forth nothing. Men with men. Leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I could take you back over to Timothy. Now let's go look at it. Timothy. 2 Timothy. Very light scripture. Second Timothy 3. Now I know I got you out in the water. And you're having to look at some things a little differently. This is where we are today in the church world, people. The Old Testament was natural. The New Testament is spiritual. 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Does that sound like Romans 1? Okay, we've been here long enough. I want you to see, closing now, where we're at in the church world today. We are in the last days, perilous times. Don't fold up your notes yet, fix and read from them. Perilous times. I want to read on page 7, right in the middle of the page, the next paragraph under where it says New English Bible. That's where we're at. Deluded gospel, deceiving spirits, doctrines of devils. We're there. Paul told us this would happen. People would leave the total teaching of the Bible, faith, and give attention to deluding doctrines. This is spiritual seduction. Our minds are seduced by teachings of demons. In the spirit realm, the mind is feminine, and the spirit, the S, plural, spirits are masculine. Our minds are made love to by doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. If you will notice what the New English Bible says, branded with the devil's sign, do you see the mark of the beast? Now that's kind of heavy. But the doctrines today that have went away from the pure word of God are deluded, and they're for nothing but to deceive us. For if the devil can keep the body of Christ from manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, the pure gospel, it can keep the many-membered man from coming together and forming the many-membered man, the Christ, the anointed. 1 Corinthians. I just don't know whether to close or I keep getting these. 1 Corinthians 12. I got to give you a definition of Christ. Now, Christ means the anointed, right? You remember that? But the Christ is the body of Christ. And it's the beautiful put together body of Christ. Not with members not functioning and organs not working. It's when people come into an assembly and they see the body of Christ. That's Christ. I'm going to give you a definition of Christ. Look at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 12. For as the body is one. Now that's talking about your natural body. As your natural body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There is a definition of Christ. Jesus Christ, Lord. Where is the man, flesh, bone man, Jesus? Where is he? The right hand of the Father. Where is Christ? And you're a member of that Christ. And the body of Christ. Do you hear that? He's not just this little imitation, miniature Jesus running around in you. And neither is Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. Christ is the body. Jesus Christ, Lord. What is Lord? Lord is what rules you. Lord is what you bow your knee to. Lord is what you bow your tongue to. For at the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. So those things in your life that are not bowing are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Therefore, are not in the kingdom, because who's Lord of the kingdom? Is this complicated or practical? And before you can ever rule and reign and receive the riches of the Gentiles, Isaiah, you're going to have to learn how to balance your bank account. And before you can ever rule and reign with Him, you better learn how to straighten out your family. You see, we're not just going to skip into this thing. Now, there are doctrines that tell you you're going in on a skateboard, cracking your bubble gum. But if you'll read the book of Revelations in the second and the third chapter, you'll read seven different times, He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I even overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. Jesus Christ, Lord. Is He Lord?
Amen.
He's Lord. I didn't get nearly as far as I wanted to get. The reason that we've got to come back to the pure gospel, the reason that we can't leave it one way or the other, and I'm doing this just to close so I won't have to start here tonight, is simply stated in Ephesians 4 and 14, and I'll read it. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When the Christ gets itself together, when the body of Christ forms that many-membered man that I'm going to teach you about tonight, then the Lord will come. He won't come until, I'll show you tonight, He cannot come until we are made like Him. I'll show you tonight. I promise. But when the body of Christ gets itself together and gets Him a body here, then the doctrines will end. The doctrines of man cannot end until we get our act together. I was studying in Acts 15, and I'm writing Acts 15 right now. And I saw there was Paul was teaching grace. And then here comes these religious Jews, and they say you got to be circumcised. And that was a major problem. But what they did is they went someplace, and they sat down, and they hashed it out. The apostles and the prophets got together with the elders of the church, and they hashed this thing out. And they said, this is what it's going to take. You got to live this way. You got to do this, this, and this. What would happen today? Oh, hear this. What would happen today if we would once again, most churches don't even recognize apostles. But what if once again today we could raise up and recognize the apostles in the church today and get them together and say, this is the way it is. Walk ye in it. You got to live like this and this and this. If you ain't living like this and this and this, you ain't in this thing. How many people are deceived and deluded and deranged? We've got to come to that. The body of Christ has got to come to a place where the apostles come together and the prophets come together and the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors that are reared up come together and sit down. I don't care if it's 5,000 or 50,000. I don't care how many. But we've got to get some codes to this thing or something. I don't know the word that I'm looking for. But we've got to have some directions and say, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. You can't do it any way you want to do it. It's got to come to that. Stand. No, I'll keep talking forever. Stand up.